I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Mills, sponsored by...
He's from Central...
And Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
Dr. Most right now.
Morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. Thank you. Thank you. Did you have a nice weekend?
Well, yeah, it was okay. I could have been better, but I had a little stomach flu, but I'm getting back. I'm rallying. I was able to play a little golf yesterday, so that's good.
You could have called me if you had your insurance card handy. I would have happy to give you a consult of some kind.
Yeah. You're out of my network, unfortunately.
That's a valid point, yes.
Yeah.
I heard a term last night in a little bit of the Sunday night football watching. I wasn't even familiar we had this body part. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't. The femur shelf.
Yeah.
There was a break in the femur shelf.
And, you know, the femur is your upper leg.
Which is the strongest bone in your body, isn't it?
Exactly. Is that what J.J. Watt broke?
Yeah. He broke his femur shelf.
Wow. So he must have had quite a blow. Because, yeah, it is. It's the strongest bone in your body. And to break that. And the shelf, you know, we have portions where the bone attaches and portions where it attaches to the knee. I believe the femur shelf is right at the knee. So... That's not a good injury. That's a tough bone to break.
Did you know you had a femur shelf?
Did I?
Yeah.
I knew I had a femur because my daughter broke hers. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
But I thought it was the term I had seen was tibial plateau.
Oh, I thought it was a femur shelf.
So the tibial plateau
is that different than your femur shelf?
Yeah, it's a different bone. Oh. The tibia and the fibula are the bones that make up your lower leg.
All right, so here's the problem. See,
the
Dave
tibia is the bone you kick into coffee tables and yell at.
All right, now here's the problem. See, Dave is actually going with journalists and reports and actually sourced stories. I'm just making crap up. All right, so Dave,
we learned something. We learned there's a femur shelf.
That's a good
which
point.
We didn't know, so yeah. Actually, it was more helpful.
That's a great point.
I think, Doc, to hear about the femur shelf.
Yeah, I must have heard it somewhere. Where would I get that? I didn't think I pulled femur shelf out of my femur.
If you broke it, breaking the tibia is one thing. Breaking the femur is another. That's, wow.
I already broke every bone in his body. That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
It's too bad because he is one of the biggest stars in the game and is a huge deal in Houston. And he's done for the year. And then you got Odell Beckham, What Color's My Hair This Week, Jr., who's one of the biggest stars in the game. And the Giants are awful, and he's out. So the NFL's not having a great weekend in regards to losing some of their stars. But that's not why you called, Doc. You called to talk about something else.
Not why I called.
Let's talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month after Mary does the traffic on 720 WGN. Oh, my microphone's not on. Well, we got a lot to do around here. I was apparently just talking to myself. We were missing an announcement that we thought Dave had, and then I was correcting the announcement that he didn't have, and my mic wasn't on. I got to tell you, this all comes down to one thing, Doc. I broke my femur shelf.
Yeah. So who's in charge there? Who turns the buttons on and off?
I do, which is why we have problems. All right, let's get on to what matters. I think the American Cancer Society, but the breast cancer awareness people in general, do a fabulous job of promoting the cause every October. You see pink everywhere.
Yep.
And people have gotten to a point where they recognize it almost instantly for what it is. So let's start with some stats. Breast cancer, are we getting better? What are we finding out?
Well, you know what, Steve? We're not changing the number of cases, but we are changing the impact. So, you know, 1 in 8 women are going to get breast cancer. You just heard Julie Louis-Dreyfus say, you know, I'm that one today. You know, yep. It's a pretty powerful statement when she said it. It really caught the eyes of everyone when she said that. So we still have, you know, 250,000 cases every year, and there's still 40,000 deaths a year. But that being said, we have made huge advancements over the last 3 decades, and it should be applauded, and we really should be proud of what these groups of individuals who have raised money to allow scientists to advance this cause and advance the treatment have done.
Doc, talk a little bit about the advances, specifically with mammograms and MRIs. Are the number of callbacks decreasing now as a result of all the new technology that is out there?
Yeah, you know, I think you hit a really good point there. One is that you know, when we have to make a call back to say, okay, do we really want to have somebody call back? You know, there's the doc who's looking at that, and, you know, we try to be make sure that we're as conservative as we can. We'd rather have someone come back and have a negative follow-up test than to miss something. But it is an inconvenience to the patient, and but the great thing now is the new technology that allowed us to advance to minimize that. So now we not only do we have just standard digital breast mammography, but we have something called tomosynthesis, which is essentially instead of taking two x-rays of the breast, multiple x-rays of the breasts are taken, and then the image is formed at that point. You'll still see that there's an image of a what we'll call a tumor or a nodule. Some of those may need to come back to have an ultrasound to see if that is a solid tumor or a liquid, a benign cyst. So I think the advancements that we made in imaging are great, and actually the probably one of the bigger things is that we have more and more access to imaging throughout the country.
What about ages for screenings?
Ages? You know, ages for screening is always controversial. You know, a lot of people are going to say, you know, you should start in your 40s. You know, the United States Preventive Task Force says you should do it from 50 to 74. After 74, it doesn't add much value. Before 50, it doesn't add much value. But I can tell you it's a personal thing. Anybody who's had somebody who's had breast cancer in their family definitely is going before the age of 50. I can tell you the doctors are going to start pushing them more towards their younger 40s and then having it done every 2 years.
Some of the stats you sent are just amazing. Breast cancer deaths have dropped 40% since 1989. Is that, and the trend shows continuing downward, which is fantastic, but is that mainly due to early detection?
No. Yeah, I take it back. I said no, and then I said yes. So it's both. Okay. One is we know that if we detect these very early, we can do something, a surgery, something called a lumpectomy, where we'll just go in and take the entire tumor out without really disrupting much of the breast tissue. And essentially that patient, although will need to be screened and may need to be on some medication, is essentially cured and has a long-term survival rate that's extremely high. So that being said, the earlier we find them is great, but also the advances that we've made on the other side, those that have been a little bit more advanced, and the medications and the treatment options have just really have been great.
Where's the breakthrough going to come from?
You know, I say this, and it's kind of interesting. We have brilliant scientists looking at this, and anybody who's done the walk for breast cancer, you know, don't stop. We can celebrate our successes, but let's not rest. You know, this is we've won a battle, but the war is still going on. And the patients that are stepping forward and being on clinical trials are true heroes. We'll say the scientists are brilliant, but we have to remember that the patient that steps forward and says, I'll be on that trial, I'll try that new treatment, those are the ones that are advancing this, and those are the ones that are making the biggest impact. So we should applaud those 3 million survivors that we have out there, thank them for going on the clinical trials that have made the impact over the last three decades. So I think you're going to start to see more genetics that are going to start to make an impact. You're going to see more hormone therapy that's going to make an impact. But overall, we are doing, I'd say, fairly well in breast cancer right now.
With the advances, Doc, can you dispel the myth of being on the pill can either lead to or prevent breast cancer?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting when we look at hormone therapy, which is essentially what the birth control pill is. That's where the controversy comes in, because a lot of breast cancers, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of the breast cancers are what we call hormone receptor positive. And what they need is they need estrogen in order for that tumor to continue to grow. So you probably heard of the drug tamoxifen. And tamoxifen is essentially a drug, it's a hormone, that goes to the breast and attaches to where those estrogen receptors are, and it stops the growth of that cancer there. So the concept of, wait a second, don't I have estrogen in my birth control pills? And if I do, wouldn't I then be supporting the chance of breast cancer? So a lot of work still being done on that, a lot of screening still being done on that, but tamoxifen definitely has been a drug that has made a huge impact on not only those who have survived, but are continuing to survive because of it.
First line of defense is still the woman herself, right? Self-exams, things of that nature?
Absolutely. You know, self-exams are great. And to be honest with you, you know, self-exams, or a woman knows her breasts and knows her body and can really at least pick up things. I can tell you, though, that now with the technology that we have in imaging, we could pick things up probably quicker than what a woman can do with a self-exam. But it's, again, self-awareness at that point and just knowing that you're still, this is the most common cause of cancer in women. So just like men should have a prostate exam and prostate test and see their doctor for prostate, women are the exact same, should get that mammogram every other year. And I strongly suggest the tomosynthesis. It's a much more advanced and I think much more accurate and much more comfortable exam.
Yeah, and we should say men do get breast cancer as well, but the numbers are tiny, tiny, tiny in comparison, which is why men don't get talked about. But certainly we sympathize with you if you're a man and you've gone through this and the associated problems that come with it as well. If a patient beats breast cancer, they still have medical conditions to work through, right?
Yeah, you know, we talk about that. Oh, you beat breast cancer. You're cured. Isn't that great? And we have to realize that although they did, some of the treatments and some of the medications that we give them and continue to give them still have a large impact on their body. So although we should be celebrating that, we should also have empathy for those people who are still taking the tamoxifen, which can interact with different and cause different side effects. Those who have to take Fosamax, which is a medication which allows bone growth because the other medications actually impacted their bones and made them osteoporotic and chance for hip fractures. So although you know someone that's fought breast cancer and survived, make sure you say, hey, hang in there. We know it's still tough with the medications you're taking, and hang in there and understand and have empathy for them. Surely they beat the bad disease, but some of the side effects from the medications can be bad as well.
Got a bunch of texters who are survivors who are thanking all doctors and nurses and medical providers who are, getting it done. Another text says, tamoxifen saved my mom, so did the Northwestern staff. God bless those doctors. Another woman says, was found through a mammogram. Thank goodness for that technology. And then we always get, whenever we talk about cancer, Doc, and you and I have talked about this on a golf course, the billions and billions, it's probably $1 trillion by now, yep, in the last 70 years that have been spent on research. And you're going, people are going, well, how can there not be a cure? You know, who's keeping the money? How can there not be a cure? I think we fail in general to recognize the advancements that have been made.
I couldn't agree with you more. And the study that came out that showed, like Andrea was talking about, this 40% decrease since 1989, saving well over 300,000 lives. That's what people need to hear, because that's what's going to say, you know what? My money is going someplace good, and it is making an impact. And like I said before, you know, thank you to the breast cancer survivors who stepped up and said, it's a clinical trial. And a clinical trial is, here's the standard of care that we know right now. What we'd like to do is take this standard of care and add this. Or we'd like to change the dose of this medication and the timing of this medication. So you understand that these people, the people that did this, which allow us to advance medicine, are heroes. They're the ones who are saying, oh my gosh, they took a chance. They had worse side effects. They took a chance that it wasn't going to be as good. And look what's happened here with this disease.
Dan Hampton coming up. Doc, thanks as always. And here's to the best health for everybody. And a lot of that goes to the people at Northwestern Medicine, all the good information you give us on Monday. So thank you, sir.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.